Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Vredestein Pinza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Wednesday, October 5th. Surprisingly, really strong night in the sports world. Don't know how many of you are watching, but Aaron Judge hit number 62. Boom, the new AL record holder for home runs. I have some thoughts on that in a moment. And the big 2023 NBA draft preview, Scoot Henderson versus Big Vic Wembanyama, was on ESPN2 last night. I don't know if anybody watched it. Obviously, if you were on social media, you saw all the clips floating around. And you definitely tuned in. That was something to behold. Those two kids can go. 2023 NBA draft is lit. I'll talk about that in a moment. But first, I got to tease our guest. This guy works with me at Fox. He put on the U.S. national team in 2010. They went to the World Cup, got to the knockout rounds, lost to Ghana. Stuart Holden. He is traveling to Qatar to cover the World Cup for Fox Sports. He's going to be calling the U.S. games. Listen, it's getting close to go time. We're inside 50 days to the World Cup. USA missed 2018 World Cup. You know I'm a soccer fan. I own a minority stake in a team in Mexico, Necaxa. They have a postseason game coming up this weekend. I'm a soccer guy. I grew up playing soccer. Both my kids play soccer. My son played club for a year. Like, I love soccer. So me and Stu Holden chop up the U.S. national team, the World Cup chances. We'll touch on the MLS and Liga MX. We'll touch on the greater World Cup. Yes, there's some English discussion. Obviously, they're loaded and in good shape to win their first World Cup in forever. I think you're going to love the interview. But real quick first, Aaron Judge, let's get this out of the way. I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm very excited and happy for Judge. He hit a bomb, 62. He's got the record. Top Maris. I get all that. I started thinking about it, and I'm like, boy, the media sure is making a massive deal. Like, enormous. About a guy who just has an AL home run record. And then I looked, who are the single season home run leaders in MLB history? Barry Bonds hit 73. And I think everybody thinks he was using some substance that was illegal in the sport at the time. Mark McGwire hit 70. Same deal with Bonds. Sammy Sosa hit 66. Same. McGwire hit 65. Sosa hit 64. Sosa hit 63. all those top six seasons were in a three-year span, 99 to 2001. The height of the Balco era. If you're too young to remember it, ask your older brother, or you could just Google steroids in baseball and all those guys' names will come up. But it is weird that baseball, I mean, I think it's smart what baseball is doing. They're pushing Judge and this storyline big time. They want it out there. He is the new AL home run king. What's understated here is there's no mention at all anywhere of Bonds or McGuire or Sosa. Nobody's bringing them up. It's all Aaron Judge, Roger Maris. And like the undercurrent is, this guy's clean. We think Maris was clean. Who knows? And this is something that baseball needs to wrap its arms around and embrace. And I don't disagree with that. I just think it's a little funny that when baseball embraced Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, when they were all juicing and it was obvious because they turned into guys who look like superheroes. They look like cartoon characters. They were so juiced, right? I mean, Barry Bonds like lost his neck in the span of 5 years because he was doing so many illegal substances. I'm not faulting those guys. Would I have done the same? I don't know. You know, would you cheat to get an athletic enhancement and then set records and make millions and millions of dollars that they can't take away from you? Well, as we've seen in baseball, a lot of people are willing to do that. And I'm sure the same as in football and basketball. If you could take something, some drug to give you an edge and it's not going to harm your body, I think a lot of people would do it. The problem is a lot of the stuff those guys were doing did harm your body. So Aaron Judge is now the clean home run champ. I don't know how far baseball is going to take this. Obviously, Judge and the Yankees going into the postseason. It's going to be exciting. I think every Judge at-bat in the postseason is going to be must-see because of what he just did. I think we'll see an uptick in the baseball ratings. This should be a really good postseason, strong teams. I'm excited. Let's go to basketball. And I'm sure there's some people on here who are like, Scoot Henderson, Jay, really? You're going to spend time on Big Vic Wembanyama? I think I'm saying that right. I just want to remind you guys, we had a guest on, a couple guests, around the NBA draft. I think Matt Babcock, Fran Fraschilla, and the name that Scoot Henderson instantly elicits when you watch him, his handle is ridiculous. He finished at the rim. He's 6'2". He finished over Big Vic, who's 7'5", and has a pretty nice handle himself. He can play on the perimeter. He splashes threes like Kevin Durant. He's as fluid as, and this one's really going to age me, Ralph Sampson, former UVA legend who played with the Houston Rockets. He hit a shot to knock the Lakers out of the playoffs back in the day. He had injuries derail his career, as is the case with a lot of skinny, tall, seven-footers. It happens. And Wembanyama looks, I mean, as good as, if not better than, like all those guys. I mean, he's the modern Ralph Sampson was not pulling up for three. Okay. He is, and I'm not overhyping Wembanyama. You got to watch him. He's 7'5, fluid as hell, steals the ball, quick. I mean, he's really good. Like Chet Holmgren meets Kevin Durant meets Kristaps Porzingis. You know, all those blended together. And this guy is, I mean, he is insane. That being said, Scoot Henderson, of course, stole the show because he hit a bunch of threes. He finished at the rim over Vic. He is, in my eyes, he is the second coming of Derrick Rose. And you guys remember how electrifying Rose was, won an MVP, took down, he won the MVP the first year, I believe, LeBron went to the Heat. And if you remember, they won game one against LeBron's Heat. Everybody's like, oh, D. Rose, they might win this series. And then LeBron was like, I got this. LeBron guarded Derrick Rose, shut him down. Bulls done. Rose, of course, his career was derailed by multiple ACL injuries. And, you know, that's what sucks. Like, Derrick Rose is a great, great, great what might have been. He's probably going to be, you know, if you really want to look at it, he's probably going to be the only NBA MVP, like, not to make the Hall of Fame simply because of injuries. But that's how good he was. I think he won MVP at 22. And this kid, Scoot Henderson, looks like him. I mean, you would go look up his YouTube videos. This guy's just electric. He just bounces out of the gym. At any rate, yes, I got smitten with some midweek basketball. All right, without further ado, let's get to our guest, Stuart Holden, former U.S. national team midfielder.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
Okay, let's welcome into Straight Fire a guy who you know from U.S. soccer, pretty much a legend, played internationally in Europe, and now calls U.S. National team games. He will be in Qatar for the World Cup, working for Fox Sports, Stuart Holden. Stu, how you doing, man?
Jason, what's up? I'm excited to talk some soccer with you, man.
Yeah, I'm so fired up. I mean, listen, last week was not great for the U.S. national team. I won't even mention the Japan debacle, which the coach admitted, Berhalter, was a debacle. But I know your guy, Alexi Lalas, who I also see around Fox, he loves to talk about this, but like the state of the union, we're less than 50 days to the World Cup. And part of this, like part of us are excited just because we're in the World Cup as opposed to 2018, you know, which was really bad. But also there's a large segment that's just unhappy with Berhalter, thinks we have no chance. I don't know. Where do you stand less than 50 days to the U.S. in the World Cup?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. Yes. Number one, right out of the gates. Because, yeah. Look, I mean, I think the reality is when it comes to soccer in the United States and how much it has grown, we still fully understand that the biggest stage and the biggest platform we have is the World Cup. And it's your opportunity as a U.S. soccer player and fan and whatever to bring people into our nest for a month of what we do and what we live. And it was such a blow 4 years ago to not have the U.S. in Russia. And it was my first World Cup as a broadcaster, and it just didn't feel the same. So, look, we're back in the World Cup. That was the number one mission of Greg Berhalter when he took over 4 years ago, of getting this team back to where we belong. And that doesn't mean, though, now that we're at the World Cup, that the feeling should be, if you're a fan right now and you're listening, well, the U.S. are back. Like, we're just at a World Cup. No, like, it has always been the baseline expectation that we should be there.
Yeah.
Now, being there, it has always been, look, to judge the tournament as a success, it's to get out of the group stage. That's what we all feel and expect from this team. So look, Greg Berhalter, I would say, has done a really good job over the past couple of years of winning tournaments. And what he has done is he won the Gold Cup with an A team and a B team. He's beaten Mexico three or almost four times in the last calendar year, going back to 2021. So now comes the real test, though, for Berhalter and these players, because what he did was he committed to a young group, a very young group. We're the youngest average age of any team that qualified for the World Cup. And that's not even close, by the way. That's a couple of years difference. Greg Berhalter, this will be his first World Cup as a coach. And what has been the challenging part, and I think you try to think about marquee wins in his tenure, with COVID and the way that the schedule really changed and the way that qualifying got changed for the U.S. to qualify for the World Cup, he hasn't had an opportunity, and this team hasn't had an opportunity to play big-name European teams from Europe, teams from South America. So really our sample size of what we've been judging this team on has been against CONCACAF opponents, countries that we should win, and countries that, you know, we should beat pretty handily, quite frankly. So now, like, you know, when I'm trying to contextualize the game against Saudi Arabia last week and the game against Japan and the game against Uruguay and the game against Morocco, we beat 3-0, you know, against teams that are going to the World Cup, I think we've only scored one goal against eight in our last eight matches of teams that are going to the World Cup. So like that part for me is where, you know, judging Berhalter, this is where we're going to really find out how good of a coach he is. Because, you know, he put his hand up. I would say that I think some of his lineup selection, personnel selection, some of the tactics that he's employed in some of those games, and just being so steadfast on committing to, like, this is what we're going to do without having some flexibility, has not been good. But I still maintain a belief that he could get this team to perform at a World Cup. And it's hard to really convey that opinion amongst all the shouting and yelling that's going on right now, because these last two games, Jason, and if you're just kind of a fan that's tuning in and you've seen that, hey, the U.S. are back at a World Cup, like, how are we going to do? These last two games have given us a moment and a pause for kind of a reflection of, like, hey, this might be a lot harder than we thought it was going to be based on the kind of the talent that we have right now.
I love the swings of USA soccer fans, because you're right. A lot of them watch, whether it's the Premier League or leagues around the world, and then, you know, they just tune into the U.S. national team for the big games. And then you tune in and they're like smashing Grenada or whatever. And then you tune into a game getting close to the World Cup, and it's like, I thought they played great for the first 30 minutes against the Saudis, had multiple chances, but didn't convert any.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh gosh, this is 0-0, really? Against a team that's not really considered very good? Does anybody think the Saudis are getting out of their group at the Cup?
No chance. I mean, they're in with Argentina, Mexico, yeah, and Poland. None. So, you know, they're going to be last place for sure.
So do you, it's not really fair for the fans to pile on, but like, this is what we do, right? In the NFL, you know, it's a week to week thing. In the NBA, you lose three straight. It's, oh my gosh, the sky's falling. In baseball, the Mets get destroyed over the weekend. It's like, well, forget their postseason. You know, it's like three games out of a million, but you look at soccer and there just aren't many opportunities, Stu. And it's like, yeah. I'm a little nervous for Berhalter. Cause as you said, this is one of the youngest teams, but I know nobody's going to want to hear this. Are they looking at, hey, let's get our young guys some reps at the World Cup. If we get out of the stage, great. If not, it's okay. 2026 is the goal. It's on our turf, right?
That's not the first time I've heard that, by the way. Yes, like and they've been careful and shied away from like just calling this a, hey, World Cup of getting experience, because we all know 26 is going to be the biggest World Cup in the history of the World Cups. Like, yeah, there will not be, from a commercial attendance, you know, global standpoint, it's going to be the first World Cup. We have 48 teams. So like, the platform and the stage is not bigger, and it's here in the United States for the first time since 94. Like, that's the one that you need to 100% put on a show. So the challenge for Berhalter here is that the individuals that we have, I mean, we have players now at some of the biggest clubs in the world. We have guys at Chelsea. We have guys at Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, AC Milan, like big clubs. And these guys are playing and getting minutes and contributing. So what that's done is it's raised the expectations of the team. Mm-hmm. The problem that we've had, I think, is being able to, A, have all these guys healthy. I mean, Pulisic has been continually injured. Gio Reyna has been injured a lot. So we've never really had the best group of guys all together building up. That's not Berhalter's fault. That's, you know, that's like the part where you're like, how much can these guys match up to their potential from what we know that they're capable of? And then the second part, which is Berhalter's job, is to get the best out of the collective. A national team coach's job is not to coach up players. It's to put the best group of players together and make them play the best. So, you know, you're maybe leaving off a guy who's being sacrificed because you feel this guy feels better in this system. And that's where I think Berhalter is getting a lot of heat, because it's like, well, you know, you got to find the best recipe of all these different ingredients and put them all together in a way that, you know, cooking reference of like making it taste good and making it something that you want to eat. And right now we're missing some of those key ingredients. He's trying to make and mix and match and things that aren't just working. And ultimately, I think we go into this first game against Wales on November 21st with more questions right now than answers, which to me is a concern. We don't know who our one of our center backs is going to be. We don't know who our starting striker is going to be. We still don't know who our goalkeeper is going to be. Like, those are three main positions right down your spine. And, you know, I couldn't tell you who's going to start in those positions on game one of the World Cup.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Pirelli tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Pirelli test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You went to the World Cup with the U.S. national team, right? So 2010, talk us through what's going to happen at the camp when the U.S. convenes, all the players get together. What goes down there in terms of settling on the course starting lineup and all that fun
yeah.
stuff?
You know, that 6-week period for me in 2010, and I have a poster, I know you can't see it if you're listening to this, but of that World Cup, because that really and truly was like one of the best 6-week periods of my entire life.
I bet.
You know, like you achieve something that you dreamed of as a kid. You're working with 23 guys continually towards something. We had the payoff of getting out of the group and, you know, living that moment, the land and goal and experiencing that in the last second to advance. And so for these guys, I think it's going to be a 26 man roster, 25 to 26 will never have played at a World Cup before. It's very different in that we had a couple of weeks ramp up to the World Cup. Well, this year, because the World Cup's moved to the winter and it's in Qatar, these guys will be finishing their club, like a pause in the season, mm-hmm. 7 days before the first game of the World Cup. So they're going to fly straight into camp, have 4 days of practice, try to switch gears into like, hey, we're at a World Cup now and play their first game. So that part's going to be very different. And I can't.
Okay, wait, hold on, Stu. Let me ask. Do you think that aspect of it, this whole 4 days of practice, geez, I was expecting weeks.
No.
Four days. Do you think that will impact how he decides the roster?
I absolutely do because some of these guys are going to be coming straight off of playing a game on the Sunday. And then the next Sunday, they'll be playing for the United States. Injuries become a thing, fatigue, how many minutes have they played in the lead up to that? And so that's why I'm saying, I don't think even Greg Berhalter right now could tell you his 100% starting 11 for that game, because there's still so much time. And then there's so little time that he's going to have guys in camp. And even the first 2 days of that, whatever, 4 or 5 days of training are going to be evaluating players to see, you know, who's ready, who's healthy, who can go from the first whistle there.
All right, let me ask a player, and you'll just say whether or not you think they're going to make it. And okay. Then maybe whether you pick
them. Is this make it on the roster or make it in the lineup?
Let's just say roster to travel to the World
Cup.
Okay. He seems to be divisive, but he's only 19. I like the upside, Ricardo Pepi.
Oh, man.
It's a tough one, man.
I know. So it's a tough one. Jesus Ferreira is going to go to the World Cup for sure, and the number 9. I think you're probably looking at Josh Sargent, and I think that third striker becomes either it's Pepe or this guy, Jordan Pefok, who's playing in Germany and is just racking up the goals. And he's the most controversial pick that was left off from this last roster. So Look, Greg knows Pepe. He likes Pepe. Pepe scored again at the weekend in Holland. Now he's playing at a lower level and scoring. So I think that Pepe goes. I would personally take PFOC over Pepe, but wow. I think that Pepe goes to the World Cup. Yeah.
So why do you? Why would you? So how many forwards are you expecting to bring? Just four?
I think three. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Three
really?
Forwards because we're gonna have a bigger roster than we've ever had at a World Cup, and I think the players that are more interchangeable are the wide players, and that's where you're right. gonna see deeper rosters on those. And like by the way, in a push, we could stick Tim Way up front. We could stick Pulisic up front. We could put. Yeah. Different type of players, but yeah, I think Pepe ends up going.
Okay. You mentioned Gio Reyna. He's going to turn 20, I think, like a week before the World Cup. The injuries are just, it's brutal. It's devastating for this guy who's super talented. Everybody knows his dad. What do you think?
I hope he goes. And look, again, that's one I can't predict. If he's healthy, he's on the roster 100%.
Sure.
Not even a question. Maybe starting, probably coming off the bench. But Gio got injured again in the last U.S. game. It's announced that he's only out for a week, so he should be back in the next game or two. But, like, that's the other part of the conversation, Jason, is, like, this World Cup is – the group stage is over in a week. So, like, you know, if you're not able to stay even healthy for a week, do you bring a guy and thinking, like, he might get there? What can he give us off the bench? But if he's even, like, able to give you something off the bench, you bring him. And he's on the roster. So out of trying to have some good juju, I'm going to go ahead and say like he's going to the World Cup because I'm like shaking my like rain stick and hoping that he's healthy.
Yes, I'm with you. I really hope he goes. Your best guess at the starting keeper, it sounds like it's between Turner and Horvath, or is there a dark horse?
Well, Zach Steffen is the other one, but he's been injured. I think he's Berhalter's guy. I think Berhalter would like him to be the starter. If I was the coach, I would have Matt Turner as the keeper. I think at the end of the day, like he's not as good with his feet as Steffen, but if you're just a normal sports fan, I think you know what the most important part of being a goalkeeper is, right? It's keeping the ball out of the net. And yeah. Turner is a great shot stopper. You know, I don't care if he's going to miss a couple of passes here and there. Like I want a guy in the nets. If I'm a defender, a midfielder that I know is going to come up with some big saves. And I think he does that and he's dependable. And I think he should be our starting keeper.
Do you, in your relationship with Berhalter, I don't know, did you ever play with him?
I played against him actually at the end of his career. He's with Galaxy. Yeah.
I'm just curious what kind of guy is he as opposed to Klinsmann? And I'm trying to get an idea when I'm shaping the roster, can I read anything from Berhalter's past or the type of kind of guy he is?
So Greg as a player was the, like in a center back, defender, yep. Very intense, very like rah-rah in the locker room, very motivational, very, you know, on guys, and kept a very high standard. He's the same as a coach. He's meticulous. He's disciplined. He works at all hours of watching tape. And I think maybe sometimes too much and overanalyzing things. But I would say what he's been able to do is connect really well with this group of young players and shown a flexibility and kind of, you know, taking the break off a little bit and allowing these guys to mature and show personality and also trusting a young group. So I think also at the end of the day, he's loyal. I think he knows guys that ultimately he thinks will give him what he wants and feel is best out of the collective, as opposed to maybe, you know, a guy that is a total wild card, but could kind of produce you something out of nothing. I think he wants dependable assets.
And let me ask you, when you're, you know, I know you had that injury before 2010 and the World Cup, but you still made the team. When you, like, go there, is it more of a bonding or is it competitive? Because everybody obviously wants to play at the World Cup. What's, like, the vibe and the energy going in?
That's a really good question because I got injured 2 months or 2.5 months before the World Cup. And I was hoping and would have been, I think, I'm going to pretend I was anyways, a starter in that team. And right. You know, I got back for my first game the week before the World Cup camp started. So I went into that camp thinking like, I still got to make the team here. I got to prove that I'm fit. I got to battle with guys. And it's a really respectful, but it's a very intense environment. And I think was it the Jordan, one of the Dream Team clips, like that came out long after the fact that they showed like those guys getting in fights before going to the Olympics.
That's right. Yeah. The Dream Team, was Jordan and Magic and all Barkley.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that clip because it was very similar to, I think, what we experienced where, you know, fitness, you're doing sessions of just pure running. You're doing sessions in the afternoon, you're doing double days, but all the while you kind of know like the main guys that are going, and then you kind of know the guys that are all competing and battling for spots. And it was like, hey man, I love you, but as soon as we cross that white line, like I'm not going to hesitate to stick a tackle on you and show that like I need to do everything I need to do to be on that team. And so it, practices got heated. There was yelling, there was shouting, there was pushing matches. And I think that's what the coaches ultimately want, because they want to know that guys are dialed in. They want to know how much it means to you to be a part of that. And I think that's ultimately still going back to those last two games and why I think potentially they were also so flat is because guys are nervous. I mean, these are guys that are on the cusp of living out their dream, going to a World Cup, and they're all of a sudden playing a friendly in front of no fans in Saudi Arabia. And they're like, shit, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to do anything that's going to cost me my job at a World Cup. And yeah, that's one of my biggest questions for this team is like, when you roll out, you're singing the national anthem, you're on the world's biggest stage in front of the biggest audience you've ever played in front of your life. Like, what are you going to do in that moment? Are you going to turn up, or are you just going to kind of crumble and let the stage get the most of you? And we're going to find out about 5 minutes into that Wales game on the 21st. And I hope it's the latter.
Yeah. I asked about Berhalter and then like the tenacity, because I keep thinking about Pepe. And I don't know, listen, you don't want to read body language, but that game against Saudi Arabia, I didn't see the fire from him. You know, he's like a fringe guy to make it. And he was like almost invisible. And I hope Berhalter takes him, but I didn't see in that performance. I know it's a small sample size, but again, we're down to the crunch time. I didn't see that fire and the desire. Like, I want it, I need it, I'm going to go grab it, whatever it takes, it's mine. I don't know. Is that a bad
read
by me?
You're right. And I wouldn't say it was just him. I think it was a number of guys there. But, you know, Clint Dempsey, who will be with us now in Qatar for the World Cup, he said a couple of times, and it's kind of, you know, he said, I want to see that you got the dog in you. He says, I want to see the dog, because that was him as a player. Like, he's a guy that scrapped for everything out there and did everything he could. I've seen a puppy from some of these guys so far. You know, I haven't seen a dog clawing and showing like that, you know, that I don't give a, you know what, of like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win this game. I'm going to scrap for absolutely everything. And I hope that's what we see out of this group, because I think at a core, that's where we're at our best. When we're just tough to beat, we're going to get, a team knows when they line up against us, hey, we might be more talented if you're a Germany, Spain, Brazil, but like, man, we're in for it today. These guys are not going to give us an inch, and they're going to scrap and try to get everything they can out of here. So yeah, like a lot of these guys, it's going to come down to, are they playing? Are they scoring? Are they coming in with confidence? Is their chest puffed high? Like, is their mentality good? And that's going to now come what they do for their clubs the next couple of weeks. And I think that's what will tilt these decisions one way or another.
So you were on that 2010 team. I'm looking at the roster that went to the World Cup, got out of the group stage, had the tough loss, I think, to Ghana. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and guess Clint Dempsey had the dog in him, right? Texas kid. Yeah. He was a beast. I know Landon Donovan had the dog in him.
Yep.
I would say DeMarcus. Michael Bradley,
Beasley, Gucci Onyewu, Boca Negra. I'm hesitant sometimes to like be a revisionist and say, well, our team was like this and this team is like this. But I think at a core, right? Like we were not the most talented team at the World Cup. This team going will not be the most talented team as the World Cup. And I think there are certain traits in a tournament, and especially during a knockout tournament, when you get past the group stage, that helps you get far. And a lot of that is mentality. My favorite thing about this team, Jason, has been their swagger, this unapologetic of like, we're young, we're experienced, we don't give a crap. Yeah. And we're going to like, we are who we are, and we're carving out our own identity. But that's what I felt was missing the last two games, right? Like, you didn't see that when you watched Saudi Arabia and Japan, did you?
No, man. It was disappointing. No swagger at all. Now, you mentioned the word identity. I would say your team from 2010, I remember they were just tough. Now, they were a little more veteran, right? People were in more of the late 20s as opposed to like super young. But what would you say in a word is the identity of the current team?
Ooh.
Because it's tough to say swagger when they haven't won anything.
Yeah. And, you know, and they finished third in qualifying behind Mexico and Canada. I want to say fearless, though. Like, I do.
Okay.
And I do feel that they are that way. And I think they believe in themselves. I really do. I think that they all know they're talented. I think when they get on the field, there's a certain feeling of camaraderie, and a lot of these guys played youth national teams together. And I don't believe that they will be afraid of the moment. Now, we might be 3-0 down after 30 minutes, but
come on. I'm not going to grill you for scouting reports on getting out of the group stage. Wales, everybody knows they have one very good player. Just glancing at the results, it seems like definitely a winnable game for us.
It's a winnable game, and in fact, it's a must-win game, I think, if we're going to advance. I think if we lose or even tie Wales, and then you go into England game needing a point, or then you get to the last game and you have to beat Iran or tie Iran. And by Iran are no schlubs, by the way. They're a pretty decent team, and they have some good players as well. So the group is met. England are the big favorites. I think we get out of the group. I think if we beat Wales, you know, call it 1-0, 2-0 on the first game, then I will feel a lot better about our chances. But if we don't win that, we don't get out of the group. It's as simple as that. Like, I do think that first game is that important.
I'll also say this about England. Historically, when they've had massive expectations, as they have going in here, they have the fourth best odds. They went to the Euro 21 final. Like, when they have expectations, they usually let down a little bit. Right. Again, I don't know. Is that statement?
Yeah. I mean, they're just always under immense pressure at all times. And the reality is they've had a coach who has overachieved, I think. But like, they're an insanely talented team. But to get to a semifinal of a World Cup and then follow that up with getting to the finals of the Euros. And now, you know, there's like pressure building because they're saying, well, he lost both of those games and he didn't win. Well, you know, to do that on a consistent basis, to be in the final four of two major tournaments is a huge ask. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, like, there was mistakes that they made in those games and tactical and coaching, and that I think leaves them vulnerable. They were on a horrific run until they scored and tied Germany in the last Nations League game 3-3. They hadn't scored from open play in over 500 minutes. Yeah. They hadn't won a game in five games. And so, like, I was kind of hoping they'd get just shellacked by Germany, which they were at one point, and that they'd come into the tournament with no confidence. They actually looked really good in the second half of that game. And just a reminder that, like, this is a really good team, but I don't see them making a deep run. I just don't. I just don't think that that they're going to be able to handle that pressure once again. And the expectations of, you know, going as far as they have in two previous tournaments. And I think the U.S. can give them a lot of trouble. Yeah. I think they can really frustrate them.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What about the aspect of all these players on the England team? I mean, they're all over the Premier League. Like you said, the U.S. players will come in with like 4 days in camp. What about all those guys?
Same thing. Yeah, same thing. Those guys will have played, you know, 20-something games at that point coming in. 6 days rest and same thing. We're going to have to play the first game. Well, their first game's against Iran. And then they play the U.S. on Black Friday here in the United States. Well, in the United States, 12 Eastern. I expect that to be one of the biggest soccer games ever on TV here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, I can't wait for that one. That's the game I've picked out as like that game is just going to be next level.
Because yeah, no, that's going to be so one of the best sporting events of the year, I think, yeah. Without question. Like, that's Super Bowl level stuff, USA, England. All right, quickly overview, like, state of the MLS. It's interesting. You know, your 2010 team had a lot of guys playing in Europe and around the globe. But you go back to, like, the 94 team with Lawless and company, and essentially the MLS was kind of founded on the 94 Cup explosion. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It started in 95. Yeah.
So now here we are, what, 26-ish years later, and the MLS is kind of thriving. But globally, are they recognized, you think, as like a top 10 league in the world?
Yeah, I do. I think absolutely top 10. The MLS was founded off the back of the 94 World Cup, huge investment into soccer. I think I forget if it was 8 or 10 teams that it started with. The league is closing in on announcing its 30th franchise and club, which is just incredible. I mean, even when I played in the league in 2006 to 2010, I think there was 12 or 14 teams. These soccer specific stadiums we have, the amount of growth, the weekly attendance, like everything is trending massively up. But now you're starting to, as your point, you're getting into conversation where you're compared then with the leagues in the Premier League, La Liga in Spain, German Bundesliga, Italian Serie A, widely known as the top four leagues in the world. Look, I think US is right behind that MLS. Now, we're still not attracting top level talent in their prime. Like, we're still getting and talking about maybe getting Messi at 35, 36, Ronaldo at 36, 37. Like, which those are guys you take, right? Those are guys that are,
of course,
they transcend the game. They're as big as it ever gets. But the amount of money that's investing a lot in young stars, we're still, and you know this because I know on your podcast, on the show with Colin as well, like MLS is not talked about yet in mainstream sports television. And that's just the reality. Like, it's, we're still trying to fight to not be a regional sport like baseball, I think. Mm-hmm. And I know baseball has a lot more history and still a lot bigger in terms of American sports, but there's a lot of great storylines in MLS. I think for it to reach that tipping point, and I'm talking about like that real blow the top off through the roof type of moment for the league, you have to be spending with the big boys, and that's bringing in top level talent at the prime and having it across all different teams. And you know we need, I think, the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants, the mm-hmm. you know, we need big marquee teams that people know when they're playing. And I think LAFC is kind of trending that way, right?
Yeah.
Like that team that when they're on, you know, you want to watch because they're interesting, or you know, they have stars. So that to me is the next phase of the league. But in terms of just momentum and support at like a regional level, MLS, man, if you haven't been to an MLS game, I just urge you to go and experience one at Bank of California here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Or up in the Pacific Northwest with Seattle and Portland, because it's an experience that wraps you in, man. It helps you fall in love with our game.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I bring that up because, you know, we mentioned earlier the 2026 World Cup is North America, and I think a bunch of games are in Central and South America, maybe Mexico. Maybe it's just Mexico and the United States and Canada. But there's been talks of MLS. Can they take the next step, maybe merging with Liga MX, the top league in Mexico, and I'm part of an ownership group in a team there, as you're an ownership group in a team in Spain, correct?
And yeah, Mallorca, yeah.
Right, with Nash, is it?
Yeah, Stevie Nash,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. We won't talk about the Brooklyn Nets and all that fun stuff. But, you know, I wonder, do you think that would help if they peg it to, hey, we're Liga MX, which is like 17 teams, plus MLS, around 30 teams, approaching 30. If we join forces, then maybe we crack that top five because we get the power of the American brands plus the audience from Mexico, and boom, now we are a super league of sorts. Do you?
Yeah, you would know this because you're involved with Necaxa. The Liga MX in the United States is the number one watched league, and that's obviously including Spanish language as well as, you know, in English, but the huge majority of that is in Spanish language television, and it's not even close. Like Premier League in English language is the top, and that's by a pretty long shot compared to, you know, other leagues on a consistent basis. But to reach that next point, I think we all understand and feel that like a merger of some sorts, right? Like, I still don't officially know what that's going to look like. We're certainly going to get a look at that next year with the Leagues Cup. And I think that is MLS's and Liga MX's hope of starting to really bridge that gap and seeing, you know, how that tournament goes. It's going to be in the United States. It's going to be games between Liga MX teams and MLS teams. And it's going to be in a real competitive format with money at stake, knockout type situation. And giving it a feel, I think, that feels bigger than like, hey, here comes Necaxa, here comes Atlas, here comes America, and they're going to sell out one game, but nobody's going to really play, and it's like a throwaway game. No, like this is going to attempt to, and I hope it does feel real, because you're going to see some real momentum around that. And what I think eventually happens is that you're going to have your American League and National League like baseball, and you're going to play a couple interleague games over the course of the year, but like West Coast based down Mexico, West Coast in the United States, East Coast and East Coast in Mexico. And ultimately you play off for what will be your World Series or Super Bowl or whatever. And that's the finalists from the AL and the final from the NL, and they play off. I would love to see that eventually. I think that that's maybe the only way that it really happens between the two leagues, but we'll see. You know, I think that's a pipe dream, but I think commercially and from that standpoint, that's the billion-dollar deal, you know, beyond billions. We're talking multi-billions, and it would raise the game. And I think then give you the ability to, hey, Neymar, Mbappe, et cetera, you guys want to come play in the U.S.? We're going to back the truck up for you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Wayne Rooney, some of these guys who come over, like everybody wants to see them. And like you said, you get these regional pockets of intense fandom. And then you match it with, hey, you're playing a team from Mexico where this is everything to some of these teams in Mexico. I mean, the passion, I'm sure you've seen some of the negative stories at some of these stadiums. It happens, you know. Listen, it's not unlike the fights you see every weekend at some of these NFL stadiums. But the passion of soccer, Stu, that's like totally underrated. And I think that's starting to grow in America. At least that's how I feel.
No, it is. And what we're starting to see is, we talked about the World Cup MLS founded in 95. So like you think about NFL teams, baseball teams, basketball teams, it goes through generations of your family, right? And, you know, if you're a Lakers fan, we are wearing a Lakers shirt right now. Your kids will be Lakers fans.
Yeah.
Their kids will be Lakers fans. Like, that's just how it works. Well, we're now, what are we? I'm struggling on my math here.
Second generation.
27 years into MLS. So yeah, second generation of fans now. That's getting passed on, you know, all the traditions and history that goes with that. Like, that's how it really snowballs, and you go to the games and you experience it together. So I really believe in that. And you're right. Like, the Mexican teams, though, they go back hundreds of years. So that's where there's a lot of passion and a lot of history. And even when you're trying to attract Mexican soccer fans who live in the United States, like, it's hard to get them to root for LAFC when they're like, no, bro, my team is Chivas. And like, I can't support, even though I live in LA, it's not the same because my granddad loved Chivas and his grandpa loved Chivas. Like, that's where that passion and that intensity comes from. And I think when we get to that next point, like, we're getting there, you know, we're on the right track.
Yeah. All right. Stu Holden, U.S. soccer legend, played internationally, calls games. Stu, I don't know how your family's going to take it leaving around the holidays for the World Cup, but I'm sure you'll enjoy the weather in Qatar, right?
Yeah, weather will be great. It'd be like L.A., mid to high 70s. Look, for me,
not bad.
this is what I'm geared up for, man. This is like the World Cup is, again, our Super Bowl. It's 4 weeks. It's intense. I think I have one day off in the group stage. We're going to be cranking out games, content, studio, day and night. And like when I get to those events, like, you know, you've done it for a long time too. It's, you're just all in, man. You're fully focused on that every single day. You eat, sleep, drink it. And my adrenaline gets pumping thinking about it, honestly. Because
I still get goosebumps for some of the big games and like the big moments, man. Well, thanks a lot for the time. I kept you a little longer than I thought. But Stu Holden, can't wait to hear you calling the games this winter for the Cup.
Thanks, Jason.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.